Hello and welcome to another episode of our podcast, Peace Be With You, and to the seventh in a series of episodes called, Simply Enough, Why Lutheran? I'm Pastor E.B. from Epiphany Lutheran Church in Bastrop, Texas, located on the Colorado River about 30 miles southeast of Austin. To find out more about us, please stop by our virtual home at epiphanybastrop.org. We hope that this series of episodes will help folks, even those among us who aren't sure why we're Lutherans, to become more familiar with Christians who call themselves Lutheran and not the other way around. This episode completes an overview of our two sacraments with a look at communion, which is, for so many at first glance, a practice in most Christian congregations, a part of church life available or that should be available to everyone everywhere. It's the policy of my Lutheran church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, that God's Word teaches that the Lord's Supper is a precious gift of God in which Christ gives us his true body and blood in a miraculous way, together with the bread and wine, for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith, and that because the Bible teaches that this sacrament may also be spiritually harmful if misused, and that participation in the Lord's Supper is an act of confession of faith, we ordinarily commune only those who have been instructed in what the Scriptures teach about the Lord's Supper or hold a similar confession of faith. There are many misunderstandings about communion, even sadly among Lutherans. The other sacrament in the Lutheran Church is Holy Communion, also commonly called the Lord's Supper, the sacrament of the altar, or the Eucharist. On the evening on which Jesus was subsequently betrayed and taken away to be crucified, he used the celebration of the Jewish Passover to institute a new means of grace, what we call communion. In the Lutheran Church, communion is called a sacrament because, like baptism, it was instituted by Christ. It includes the use of earthly elements, bread and wine, that are connected with Christ's words, and it works the forgiveness of sins. To establish the sacrament, Jesus took some of the foods used in the Passover and blessed them with specific words. Taking and blessing the bread, he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Taking and blessing the cup, he said, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the many for the forgiveness of sins." It is these original words of Jesus that consecrate the bread and the wine used in the sacrament for all times. When the pastor says these words in a service during the sacrament, he is not performing some kind of magic act where, through his own powers, he causes the bread and the wine to also become Jesus' body and blood, but rather the pastor stands in the stead of Christ and speaks the words of institution over the visible elements. Its purpose is, first of all, to show that it is the pastor's intention to carry out Jesus' institution and to set the visible elements apart for use in the sacrament. It furthermore serves as a prayer that the Lord may do what he has promised, as a confession that the body and blood of Christ are present in the sacrament, and as an invitation to the communicants to appropriate Jesus' promise by faith. Such a use of the words of institution in consecrating the visible elements is an ancient custom, but the words are not to be considered a magic formula that affects a change in the elements. The presence of the body and blood does not depend on the simple repeating of the words, but comes about through the gracious working of the Lord, whose promise is connected with the words. The real presence is therefore also not dependent on the faith of a man who speaks the words. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 bears out that those receiving the sacrament are, therefore, meeting Jesus personally by eating his body and drinking his blood, which are present in with and under the bread and wine of the sacrament. Jesus is no longer a foreigner, a God that is far away, but he comes to his children to be an integral part of them. It is an encounter like none other we will experience. It is his personal assurance that we are forgiven no matter how bad our sins are, and that the believing communicant is really God's dear child. The Lutheran doctrinal position on communion is called the real presence because we believe that the Lord's body and blood are really present when we take the bread and wine. We believe this because Jesus said, "This is my body." The word is present in each of the four places where the words of institution are mentioned in the Greek New Testament. This is not a requirement in Greek because is often understood, but its presence here adds emphasis. The Roman Catholic Church views communion as a sacrifice as well as a sacrament. It claims that the priest changes the bread and wine permanently into the body and blood of Christ, something called transubstantiation, and then offers them to God the Father as a bloodless sacrifice for the sins of the living and the dead. Alas, no command to do this exists in the Bible. Instead, the New Testament writers point out that Christ's sacrifice for sin was sufficient and that no further sacrifice for sin is needed. This is in Hebrews chapter 7. His body and blood are present in the sacrament only for the purpose of being received by the communicant, because that is the purpose he assigned to these elements. We dare go no further than Christ went, since we have no word of God to do so. Some have argued that Jesus' body and blood cannot really be present because he is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and as a result, the bread and wine merely represent Christ's body and blood. They believe that his human nature is confined to that one location and cannot be all over the world to be present in Holy Communion. However, where Christ's divine nature is, his human nature must also be, or he would not be one person. Our Lutheran confessions teach, according to Philippians chapter 2, that Christ, not only as God, but also as man, he knows all things, can do all things, is present with all creatures, and has under his feet and his hands everything that is in heaven and on earth and under the earth. The non-biblical Calvinistic argument that the finite cannot contain the infinite not only distorts the person of Christ, but also robs the Christian of the assurance that Jesus personally gives to him or to her the forgiveness of sins in the sacrament. If Jesus wanted us to believe that the bread and wine merely represented his body and blood, he would have indicated that he was using figurative language, as he did in some of his other teachings. On the basis of God's word, our Lutheran Church continues to practice the ancient biblical and confessional practice of close communion as an opportunity to give joyful witness to our unity in the true faith. We practice close, not closed, but close communion with the belief that this is what the Lord would have us do as we faithfully administer his body and blood in his holy sacrament. A closing note about what we mean by close, not closed, but close communion. It's not that a Lutheran congregation such as mine wants to bar fellow saints, fellow believers, from the blessings of the Eucharist and the practice of close communion in judgment. The practice of close communion is prompted by love and is born of the heartfelt conviction on the basis of Scripture alone that we must follow Christ's command. This means refusing the Lord's Supper to those whose belief is not known to us. For this reason, my congregation includes this statement in our worship bulletin. Because those who eat and drink our Lord's body and blood unworthily do so to their great harm, and because Holy Communion is a confession of the faith which is confessed at this altar, any who are not yet instructed in doubt or who hold a confession differing from that of this congregation and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and yet desire to receive the sacrament, are asked first to speak with the pastor. This episode is part of our Peace Be With You podcast, brought to you by Epiphany Lutheran Church in Bastrop, Texas. To find out more about us, please visit us online at epiphanybastrop.org. You can reach us by email at peacebewithyoupodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and until next time, this is Pastor EB saying so long, and peace be with you.